Well, thank you for being here tonight. Our elders asked us a year or so ago to embrace the idea of going outside the wire. And you guys, I'm sure you know by now that the idea there is that we have to sort of get outside of the area that's the most familiar to us and sort of forge out into enemy territory, right? We have to sort of get outside of ourselves and try to reach out to people who are still lost. And we have not given up on that. We endeavor to continue doing that and to do that in a better and more perfect way. And so in jump-starting this year, the elders have asked us to all meet together to think about evangelism for the month of January. So appreciate everybody respecting and appreciating the elders in being here tonight, and then also, of course, respecting and appreciating God and Jesus and wanting to participate with them. Appreciate everyone being here tonight. Last week, we wanted to think about the Great Commission and the three dimensions of the Great Commission, and the idea there is what Jesus has actually asked us to do is eminently doable. Only so much of the Great Commission is our responsibility. Now, Jesus went to the cross. He didn't ask us to do that. But having gone to the cross, he then said, go in all the world, make disciples among all these nations of people. So go everywhere and preach the gospel to everyone. He's going to do the saving and condemning. That's his job. And he's eminently capable. He's going to do that in a perfect way. Other people, when they hear the gospel, are responsible to either believe or disbelieve. That's not our responsibility to believe or disbelieve for them. The only thing we are responsible to do is go and teach. And every one of us is capable of going and teaching, making disciples. Every one of us is capable of doing that. And so the idea for last week was, this is what God has commanded and called you to do. Are you willing to obey the Lord and do that? And my hope and prayer is that you have given that serious thought and that you don't have any difficulty wanting to be obedient to God. And so you want to do what he says he wants done. That's my hope and my prayer. I want to spend some time now that you've already made that commitment talking with you about how you can do that. Part of the difficulty, I think, is that a lot of us are just out of practice, and so we don't have confidence. Maybe some of us have never really done it, and so we don't have confidence. It's not as complicated as you might think, and I hope to show you that with Billy's help. Billy will be teaching next week over the next couple of few weeks. In that vein, I want to talk with you tonight about the importance of Christian relationships. I asked my sidekick here, Caleb, to help me. He's going to read these introductory verses that I want us to think together about. If you want, please, if you use a different version, you can turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse number 19. Caleb's going to read it for me from the New King James Version. That's his preferred version. All right. Come on, bud. All right, you can turn around and read.
1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. And it reads, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you."
All right. Thank you, my good man. I talked about these verses in more detail than I'm going to tonight in the class on Sunday morning about postmodernism, but look at what Paul is saying here. Paul is telling us that when he interacted with different people, he did what he could to understand and associate with those different people in the ways that they could understand and accept, specifically so that he could reach them with the gospel. Paul was very intentional when he met someone and trying to understand who they were and where they were, and then drawing closer to them, he says, specifically so that he might gain them for Christ. And my encouragement to you tonight is you need to think about your relationships with people and why you know the people that you know and why you live next door to the people you live next door to and work with and go to school with. Why, in God's mind, are you around those people? Those relationships have potential. And I want to think with you tonight about how you can maximize that potential. Are you intentional about developing and using your relationships with others to advance the cause of Christ by making disciples of those around you? That's my question. Are you intentional about using the relationships that you have or developing new relationships specifically so that you can advance the cause of Christ? How many people say, this is at the forefront of my mind? You know, when you meet the person who delivers your mail, you're thinking, boy, this is an opportunity for me to advance the cause of Christ right here. When you take your clothes to the dry cleaners, you know, or you go to the grocery store and the person is checking you out, how many of us are thinking, boy, this is my opportunity to advance the cause of Christ right here, this short interaction that I'm having with this person? So most of us probably don't think that way, but I'm telling you that we should and we can think that way, and you can be effective if you do think that way. I'm going to say a few things to you. I want to show you a few things, and then I want to make several suggestions to you. As I say, sometimes I'm happy for you to ask questions or make comments. I am very happy for you to do that. If you don't, I'm going to keep talking because it's not as if I don't have anything to say, but I'm happy for you to make comment. I'm happy for you to contribute. I invite it. The first thing I want you to think about is the purpose of Christian relationships. A couple of weeks ago, I talked with you about the idea that Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Why was he called a friend of sinners? Because he did everything he could to avoid sinners? Or was he called a friend of sinners because he made it a point to spend time with publicans and sinners, people who were maybe not looked favorably upon by some others, but he made it a point to sit down and break bread and spend time with people who needed spiritual help, because he said those that are whole don't need a physician. But you see, he came to help those who were spiritually sick. So Jesus went out of his way to spend time with people who needed his spiritual help. And you can see that, for example, when he comes through and Zacchaeus is climbing a tree to try to see Jesus. And Jesus says, I want you to come down. I'm going to have a meal with you at your house. You could see that when Jesus would go into the home of the Pharisees and he would allow them to entertain him, and he would use those occasions to try to teach them. I mean, he went into the homes of people who he knew had problems and difficulties with him specifically so that he could reach them. Jesus made friendships and had associations with people because he had a spiritual objective in his mind. That's the point. That was the purpose of his relationships with people. Now, Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23, took a very similar approach. When he went and interacted with people, his goal was to win them for Christ. Now, you think about how Paul would go to the marketplace, right? Like everybody else had to go to the marketplace at some point. And Paul might make a purchase, but you know why he was interacting with that person? The occasion to buy something was just an excuse. Paul wanted to know how he could reach that person for Christ. That was his purpose in his various relationships. I mean, should that have changed for us? Should it have changed for us? I think it has, because I don't know that we think about it like this, but we should. That's my point. That's the way Jesus did it. That's the way Paul did it, and that is the way that we should do it. There is a purpose for our interacting with the people that we interact with. In God's grand design, there is a purpose. I know some of the young folks, you guys probably are on sports teams or in different kinds of clubs or what have you, high school and college, right? Now, you're doing that because you're thinking, well, this is fun, I enjoy this. Or you're doing that because you're thinking, well, I get a scholarship to go to school here to do that. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of that, nothing wrong with any of it. But God really doesn't care whether you play a particular sport or whether you're on the debate team. God could care less about that. He could not care less about that. What he does care about is you're using those opportunities to expand your influence for him with the people you interact with, right? Whatever team you're on makes no eternal difference whatsoever. And for those who are a bit older, you know, the place where you work, God doesn't care where you work. As long as you're making an honest living, I mean, he's blessing you to work in that place to provide for your basic needs. It doesn't matter to him what your profession is, but you know what does matter? What matters is whether you're using those interactions, those relationships to advance his cause, right? And so there is purpose in Christian relationships. Christians should be intentional in developing relationships with other people specifically so that they can help other people spiritually. That's the point. The goal then is not for us to have more friends. Listen, anybody like having friends? I mean, I like having friends, right? But the goal is not for you to have as many friends as possible. That is not the end goal. The goal is not for you to be as popular as possible. That's not the end goal. The goal is actually for you to be able to love people more effectively by increasing the intimacy in your relationship with other people. Does that make sense to you? The goal is for you to have a closer relationship to someone so that you can more effectively do what is in their spiritual best interest. That's the purpose for your relationship. I don't have a strong motivation to get to know some people because if I don't remember who God is, then I don't have any real reason to go out of my way to get to know some people. I mean, if I don't care what God wants me to do, then I don't care about this person who's nameless, right? But when I remember that God has moved me into that person's sphere of influence, providentially maybe he's moved me into that person's sphere of influence for a reason, that gives me an incentive to look at my interaction with them in a different way. I have a purpose that some other people don't have. Tell me if this is making sense. I talk to people sometimes and they say things like, listen, everybody I know is a Christian, so I don't have anybody to study with. Come on. Everybody you know is not a Christian. Most of the people you know are not Christians. It's just that you're not taking time to invest in people who are not Christians. That's the problem. And so you have to be purposeful. Questions for you. Are there relationships that you can seek to develop further in order to better influence people spiritually? Are there people, maybe people that you live near, people that you work with, people that you go to school with, people that you interact with in commerce and so forth, are there people that you can develop a better relationship with so that you can influence them spiritually? Every one of us, the answer is yes. Every one of us. What specific steps can you take to develop and deepen those relationships? What can you do to get to know the person that you see at school every day but you really don't speak to? What can you do to develop a deeper relationship with that person? You know, you go to the same gas station to fill up your car twice a week. I mean, what can you do to develop a deeper relationship with the person who's ringing you up if you bother to go inside? What can you do? Well, that's what we should be thinking about. Okay, the purpose of Christian relationships. A warning that I give, though, is that there are certain perils, right? There are certain dangers that come along with your relationships. I'm encouraging you to be aggressive in trying to form and deepen relationships with people who are not Christians. So at the same time, I have to say to you, there are some things that you want to keep in mind when you do this, okay? First, you remember that a poor example can do great spiritual harm. You remember the Jesus said about the Pharisees that they scoured the earth sort of looking for someone to make a disciple, and when they found one, they made him twice the son of the devil as they were. I mean, they were worse off because of the Pharisees, even though the Pharisees, to some extent and degree, were being evangelistic. What I'm saying to you is, when you forge out to try to deepen and make relationships with people, you have to recall that your example can have a tremendous impact for good or bad. We don't get to get close to people and then sully the name of Christ by the way we live out our Christianity or fail to do that with them. We got to be careful. Our example is very important, makes a great impact. Sometimes it's been said, you know, I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing is speaking too loudly, right? I mean, we're going to tell people you should come to church with us, but we're in the wrong place doing the wrong thing with them, and they're thinking, why would I go to church with you, right? I mean, we got to be really careful about that. A second thing I would remind you of is that Christians can be corrupted by evil companions. That is, my thinking is, I want to influence other people for Christ. I have to be careful that they're not influencing me for someone else, right? Because influence works both ways. It's not a unilateral thing that I have influence on other people. Other people have influence on me, and so I have to be careful about that. A third thing I would mention is that there are some limits to how far a Christian can go in trying to make friends. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 9. You know, he said, a person who is not under the law or never has been under the law, and he was talking about the law of Moses, you know, he said, listen, a person who doesn't know the law of Moses, they're not under it, and so I proceed as a person who's not under it also. I just cast off the law of Moses because I'm not under it, and that person's just going to be distracted by all the things I might say about it. But then he says, but I don't proceed as if I'm not under law to Christ. I mean, there are some things that I'm obligated to do or refrain from doing because of who Jesus is, and so there are limitations. You know, do I want to go to the raucous party because there are a bunch of unsaved people there that I'm trying to reach for Christ? Is that how I want to do it? You know, for you young folks or maybe for you older folks, do I want to stop off at the happy hour because I know there are people there who need Christ and see if I can't do some preaching? Maybe not. There are just some limits, right? There are some limits to how far I can go. And so we do want to keep that in mind. That being said, though, as we seek to develop these relationships with other people, Christians have to be mindful of the potential for spiritually corrupting other people or being spiritually corrupted by other people. There's a lot that I could say about this, but the short of it is that a pure message can be undermined by a poor example. If you had pure water, would you want to drink it out of a dirty glass? I mean, you wouldn't want it, right? When I see that you didn't bother to wash the glass, I mean, I can see you put the most pristine water in the world in there. I'm not going to want to drink it. And that's how it is with the gospel. It is a pure message. But if our lives are such that it doesn't look attractive to someone, they're not going to want to drink it, right? So this is the kind of thing that we have to be cautious about. Are there certain people around you that are more likely to influence you for bad than you are to influence them for good? Because let me tell you, most people do have some people that either are around or that could potentially be around where it's more likely that they will influence you for bad than it is that you will influence them for good. You don't want to go out of your way to spend a whole bunch of time with someone you've got to be concerned about influencing you for bad. And so if there are people like that, then you've got to be a little bit careful. And then another thing you'd want to think about is what boundaries should you set to ensure that you don't compromise your commitment to God as you try to grow closer to other people. A maxim that I live by, I'm not going to go to hell with someone to try to get them to come to heaven with me. Right? I mean, I'm trying to go to heaven and I invite you, I encourage you, I will help you. And then you say, well, you know, I will come to church with you if you will come and do this dastardly thing with me. No, ma'am, and no, sir. I'm not going to go to hell with you to try to get you to come to heaven with me. There are just some limits to how far I will go, right? And that could be discussed in a lot more detail, but the precept I want you to think about. Now, the prophets. There is a purpose You got to think about your relationships with other people from God's perspective. We have to elevate our thinking from a purely worldly perspective and see it from God's perspective. We should be careful about how we proceed because we don't want to be tripped up ourselves and we don't want anyone to trip us up. So why are we doing this? Well, we do this because there is potentially a great deal of profit in making it my business to establish and deepen relationships with other people. Some people I know and some people I don't know. Heretofore. Number one, making disciples is a long process and not an event. When you look at the Great Commission, Jesus says, go and make disciples, okay? You go and you teach the gospel and you teach people whatever things he has commanded. Well, that's going to take some time. Sometimes what we do is we think about making a disciple as an event. We think, boy, if I can sit down with this person for 20 or 30 minutes and say the magic words, they run past me and jump in the baptismal pool and I'm done. That was great. That was an event. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That's not what Jesus called us to do anyway. He called us to make disciples, and that takes time. So, to the extent that I can have a relationship with a person where we communicate on a continual basis, where there's mutual trust, mutual respect, mutual affection, that gives me a better bridge across which to do exactly what Christ is asking me to do in the first place. It's a process. And a process is going to require something more than simple, punticular, point-in-time interactions. It's going to require a relationship. Something else to think about from the church's perspective as a whole, okay? A strong disciple-making emphasis. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I hope you guys heard that. What Josh was saying there is that we're inviting people into is a relationship with God and a relationship with God's people, not just a belief system. It's not just a simple set of facts. Now listen, I could go into a whole thing about the various relationships that we have to God and one another in the church, but there are various relationships described, or the relationship is described in various ways. One of them is, it is the family of God, right? Yes, sir. Okay. Well, that's true as well. One of the things that I would tell you is that people have different motivations, different things that animate them, right? So some people will be very much compelled, and I had this discussion in the postmodernism class, some people are very much compelled by the idea of community and relationships. And so if you have a relationship with someone, you could actually come to know that, that that's really important for them, and you would want to be sure to emphasize that for them accordingly. Some people, though, that you talk to will already have that. They'll have that wherever it is that they assemble and go to church now. They'll have it, but they will be missing something else. And so you'll want to, the better you get to know someone, the more information you have about them, the more effectively you can make a presentation to them. Whatever you're going to say about the gospel is going to come from the Bible and it's going to be accurate. But there are certain appetites, things that motivate people, and the better you know people, the better you can share the gospel with them according to what's going to be effective for them. But the point that I was making there is if you have a strong disciple making emphasis, it will allow you to sort of circumnavigate certain distractions that can be a problem. See, when you have a strong disciple making emphasis, then you're actually on task, you're on mission, you're actually doing what Jesus said you ought to be doing. And if we're doing what Jesus says we ought to be doing, you know what? We don't have time for things that distract us from what Jesus says we ought to be doing. You know what I find? When churches are not on mission, when they're not reaching out to people and converting people and helping to mature people, you know what? They inevitably develop problems because they get tired of looking at each other. They cannibalize each other. Little things become huge things because they don't have anything better to do. I've seen it many, many times. When you're on mission, things that could become a distraction, relatively minor things, you don't have time for. You don't have time for. The third thing that I'll mention here, and there's a bunch of other things we could, but the third thing I'm going to mention tonight is that the church's influence expands as its individual members expand their influence, right? What's the benefit of you doing this? Well, the more people that you can influence individually, that contributes to our being able to influence more people as a congregation and the church's ability to influence more people collectively. So the more people that I have meaningful relationships with, the more people we have meaningful relationships with. All right. When we are intentional, then, Christians can draw non-Christians, and this goes to what Josh was saying there, into relationships with themselves, with fellow Christians, and with God. See, that's ultimately my objective. I can get to know someone, and then I can have other Christians draw them into a relationship with this someone. Ultimately, our goal is to draw that person into a relationship with God. That's our goal. But I've got to build a relationship with them first. All right, now here's my question. I asked one question before. Are you intentional with your relationships? I presume, I could be wrong, but I presume the answer is no, you haven't been. So now I ask a second question. Are you willing to be more intentional about developing and using your relationships with other people to advance the cause of Christ by making disciples of those around you? Are you willing? That's a different question. Whatever you have or haven't done isn't the point. Are you willing now to use your relationships with people to advance the cause of Christ? Are you willing to look at your relationships with people you see every day as an opportunity for you to draw someone into a relationship with Christ? Because if you're willing to do that, you can win souls. If you're just waiting to have some particular method where you push a magic button, you're never going to win souls that way. But if you're willing to look at your life every day, your interactions, and say, God just moved me into a position where I'm having a conversation with this person specifically so that I can help this person find out who Jesus is, you can win a lot of souls. It's a mindset. Are you willing to think like that? Who is incapable of thinking like that? Who didn't God empower to think this way? Everybody can do this. As long as you're not sitting here thinking you have something better to do. As long as you're not thinking that your agenda is more important than God's agenda, you can do this. As long as when you meet someone, your first thought is not, what can I get out of it, but what can God get out of it, you can do this. Now, who's willing? I'm going to make a few suggestions here, and I'm going to go fast enough that you, I mean, if you want to scribble these down or something, I'm not going to have time to say a whole lot about them or screenshot it or what have you. I'm going to try to make a bunch of suggestions, little things that you can do every day if you're willing. These are little things you can do every day, and there's probably a bunch more, but these are some that I'm going to offer you. Pull out your Dixie cup. Here comes the firing squad, the water hose here. It's going to be more than you can get in your cup, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. The first thing, cultivating relationships. The relationships you already have. People you already interact with, you're just not paying enough attention to maximize those relationships. Here are a few things I would suggest to you. How can I do it? One, consistently pray for people you hope to see converted. People around you are not saved. How much time are we spending in prayer that God will help that person to be saved? Now, just be sure that when you pray that they will be saved, you're willing to participate in their salvation. Number two, let people know you are praying for them and ask if they have specific things they want you to pray about. It means a lot to people, even if they're not spiritual, if you go to them and tell them that you have been praying for them and you would like to pray more effectively. If there's anything going on in their life that they would like you to pray about, could they let you know? That means something to people, even if they don't pray themselves. Number three, initiate activities with non-Christians. There are people around you who are not members of the Lord's church. If you spend all of your social time with people who are members of the church, you'll never have deeper, meaningful relationships with people who are not saved. And so sometimes you need to invite the non-Christian to go to lunch with you. Sometimes you need to invite the non-Christian to come over to your house for some holiday party or something that you're having. You have to initiate activities so you'll have opportunities to form more meaningful relationships. Number four, listen when other people talk. You know, most people don't listen very well. And that, me included, right? I mean, most people don't listen very well. So it really stands out when someone does listen. When someone is talking, you know how I know that people don't listen? Because we say, hey, how are you doing? And we keep walking. We never stop to get the answer. We didn't care. Right? What's going on with you? And I never broke stride to find out. I wasn't listening. When someone actually is listening to another person, that means something, and that is an investment that leads to a deeper relationship. Number five, call someone you do not speak with often and ask them about their welfare. You know, there's some friends of mine that I'm embarrassed to say that how long it's been since I talked to them. I mean, years have gone by, and I still feel a great tenderness and affection in my heart for them. How do they know that? Pick up the phone and call and just say, hey, man, I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you. I want to see how things are going with the family and so forth. Those kinds of deposits over time, those things help you to maintain a deeper relationship. Accept invitations to do things. It's a good thing I have a wife because I say no a lot when people ask me about social things. I'm busy. I just have things to do. And so my reflex is to say no. But I've learned that it's a better reflex for me to say, let me ask my wife. Because my wife will say, you need to do that. If you don't accept when someone is reaching out to you to spend time with you, how are you going to have a deeper relationship with them, right? And so sometimes we have to say yes. Make it a point to say hello and good morning to coworkers and neighbors, etc. It's amazing to me how many people nowadays don't even bother to say good morning. It's amazing. But if you're the one who makes it a point to say good morning, to say hello to other people, that stands out to them. Send personal emails and notes of encouragement during difficult times. And I know we're in a technical age, you send a text message and stuff like that, but you know what? A handwritten note still means something to people. I mean, when it's really something important, a handwritten note really means something to people. A call means something to people. I know text messaging. I know this is what you guys do. Pick up the phone and call, though. It's a bigger deposit. It means something more to people. Help someone when you see a need. If you see someone who has a need, guy has a flat tire, why don't you be the one to stop and see if you can't help? Someone is having difficulty, you be the one to see if you can't help. This is how you cultivate relationships. Now, that might be a stranger. What if it's a person that you know who's going through a difficult time or having some difficulty? You be the one to believe in Galatians 6 and 10 and do good to all men as you have an opportunity. Identify and ask God to change things about you that drive people away. I'm the only person in the room who has certain character traits that drive people away. I know that, but let me just say for me then, it is helpful to ask other people about my character traits and my habits if there are things that they find uninviting so that I can identify them and work on them so that I can have better relationships with people. And if by chance there's one other person in the room who has these kind of undesirable habits, then this is what you should do about it. If you know you have offended someone, apologize. I can tell you that before I was a Christian, I'm not always the most patient person now, but I didn't care to be patient then. I at least try now. I didn't even try then. I didn't see the point. And so I was intolerant of some people for certain things. And after I became a Christian, years later, I went back and apologized to several of those people, invited them out to lunch and just said, I know that I wasn't on my best behavior and I'm sorry. I don't have an excuse. I just didn't know better. I didn't care to do better. But those kinds of things make it so that I can have a more productive relationship with people going forward. And maybe you have some things like that too. Let someone know that you'd like to get to know them better. You know, how hard is that? Did you say, hey, listen, I'd like to spend a little more time with you if you have it. I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. If you want to deepen a relationship with someone, these are some things that you could do. And as I said, there are many other things. I'm just giving you a few to think about. Initiating relationships. Now, people that you don't know at all, strangers, complete strangers. Speak to people that you do not know as you go about your daily routine. See, you're walking past people who are dead and dying every day. You're just not paying attention. Speak to these people. When you pull up to a red light, you're surrounded by people who are spiritually dead and dying. Now, you're not going to speak to them at a red light because you'll get arrested, right? Trying to do that. But people you're moving through, and I mean, as you move through life, you can still make it your business to speak with people. Compliment good behavior. When you see someone, even someone you don't know, do something that is good, compliment them for doing that. Be observant. Notice things that interest people whom you do not know. If you see that someone has a particular interest in something, that is an opportunity for you to use that interest to get to know them a little better. All right, when engaging in small talk, ask open-ended questions. I'll talk about that later. Demonstrate a good, wholesome sense of humor. Be a regular at some places of business and address people by name. Freely engage in small acts of kindness. Get out of your routine. Go to new places and do new things. Lastly, seek out people with common interests and talk to them. Introduce yourself to people you don't know. Be sure to meet the new guy or the new gal and help them get acclimated in your place of business or in class or what have you, and participate in community events in your neighborhood. These are just some things you can do. Use your relationships. That's my point. Be intentional to use your relationships to influence people for Christ. Thank you for your time tonight.